Morning. Let's turn to 1 Samuel chapter 15. Let's read from verse 10. Okay, 1 Samuel 15, verse 10. Then the word of the Lord came to Samuel, saying, "I regret that I have made Saul king, for he has turned back from following me and has not carried out my commands." And Samuel was distressed and cried out to the Lord all night. And Samuel rose early in the morning to meet Saul, and it was told Samuel, saying, "Saul came to Carmel, and behold, he set up a monument for himself, then turned and proceeded on down to Gilgal. And Samuel came to Saul, and Saul said to him, 'Blessed are you, the Lord, I have carried out the command of the Lord.' But Samuel said, 'What then is this bleating of the sheep in my ears, and the lowing of the oxen which I hear?' And Saul said, 'They have brought them from the Amalekites, for the people spare the best of the sheep and oxen to sacrifice to the Lord your God, but the rest we have utterly destroyed.' Then Samuel said to Saul, 'Wait, and let me tell you what the Lord said to me last night.' And he said to him, 'Speak.' And Samuel said, 'Is it not true, though you were little in your own eyes, you were made the head of the tribes of Israel? And the Lord anointed you king over Israel, and the Lord sent you on a mission and said, "Go and utterly destroy the sinners, the Amalekites, and fight against them until they are exterminated. Why then did you not obey the voice of the Lord, but rushed upon the spoil and did what was evil in the sight of the Lord?' Then Samuel said, and then Saul said to Samuel, 'I did obey the voice of the Lord and went on the mission on which the Lord had sent me, and had brought back Agag, the king of Amalek, and have utterly destroyed the Amalekites. But the people took some of the spoil, sheep and oxen, and choices of the things devoted to destruction, to sacrifice to the Lord your God at Gilgal.' And Samuel said, 'Has the Lord as much delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices, and is obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as a sin of divination, and insubordination is as iniquity and idolatry. Because you have rejected the word of the Lord, he has rejected you from being king.' Then Saul said to Samuel, 'I have sinned. I have indeed transgressed the command of the Lord and your words, because I fear the people and listen to their voice. Now therefore, please pardon my sin and return with me, that I may worship the Lord.' But Samuel said to Saul, 'I will not return with you, for you have rejected the word of the Lord. The Lord has rejected you from being king over Israel.' And as Samuel turned to go, Saul seized the edge of his robe and it tore. And Samuel said to him, 'The Lord has torn the kingdom of Israel from you today, and he has given it to your neighbor who is better than you. And also the glory of Israel will not lie or change his mind, for he is not a man that he should change his mind.' Then he said, 'I have sinned, but please honor me now before the elders of my people and before Israel, and go back with me, that I may worship the Lord your God.' So Samuel went back following Saul, and Saul worshiped the Lord." Amen. We basically are at the point, we're at the demise of Saul. And he, you know, it's not just this instance, but if you read actually a few chapters before, Saul is in continual disobedience to the Lord. In the passage before, he actually offers up the burnt offering, you know, that was Samuel's job, you know, but Saul feared that the armies were gathering in strength. And so, you know, what they would customarily do, and you could actually see this woven through the Kings and Chronicles, and it's actually a pretty good reminder for us that every time before the Israelites went out in the battle and they would inquire of God, you know, they would ask God for the strategy, you know, they'd ask God, you know, for, you know, to basically say, "Lord, should we go up? Is this a victory?" They'd ask God for timing. Every time, if you go through the kings, Northern Kingdom and Southern Kingdom, every time they inquired of God, they had victory, right? The few times that they didn't inquire of the Lord, they lost battles. You know, I mean, this goes all the way back to Joshua's day, right? And in fact, even in Joshua's day, one of the battles, they had a strategy, you know, and they won, and they thought, you know what, let's just use the same strategy. And same situation, they used the same war strategy, and they lost. And the Lord spoke to them, see, you know, you didn't inquire, you lost because you didn't inquire of the Lord. That's a pretty good reminder for us, you know, that no matter what we're doing or, you know, what plans that we've made or whatnot, that we make sure that we ask God first. You know, Matthew 6:33, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you as well. You know, and so there's that aspect. And so, you know, so Saul goes to inquire of God. Samuel is taking a while getting to the place to offer up that offering, and Saul does it himself. He is not in the position to do this, and thus the wrath of God begins to be piled on Saul. So we have another, you know, misadventure, and Saul, you know, gives some crazy order, and, you know, his son is punished as a result. And now we get to this part where, you know, it seems like, you know, the Lord's not giving, maybe not necessarily giving him another chance, but, you know, giving an opportunity. And he says, I have the king of Amalek, Agag. This guy's an evil guy. I want you to destroy him. I want you to destroy the people, you know, and just wipe everything out. And so Samuel, you know, or Saul goes, they win the battle, right? But Saul spares the king, you know, and this would have been a very typical diplomatic kind of thing that they do, right? You know, everyone would die, but they would always spare the king, you know. And so he disobeys the Lord, and then he keeps all the finest of animals in a pretense that they're going to offer this to the Lord. It sounds like a pretty good idea, right? You know, does that sound like any of us? You know, we have these pretty good ideas of how we serve God, but yet we disobey completely in what he's asking us to. You know, I hear this a lot from businessmen, right? You know, Lord, you know, you bless this business, and I'm gonna give you this, right? I've never seen that happen in my life, to honest to goodness, right? You know, I've seen God bless, and I've never seen people give back. You know, and we say all kinds of stuff like this to the Lord, and so it's very common. But I mean, that's not the part of the story that I want to focus on. You know, this is why Saul failed more than anything else, right? And you need to be a little bit careful, because in that same way, what can bring our demise could actually be a very good thing, but that's not really given over to the Lord, okay? What I mean by that, in verse 17 of chapter 15, Samuel says to him, "Is it not true, though you're a little in your own eyes, you're made the head of the tribes of Israel?" You know, this is a good thing for us, right? You know, we should be little in our own eyes. You know, it's even said that, you know, God chose him because he was little in his own eyes. And he was humble. You know, he didn't think much of himself, right? He was going through life, and, you know, he was part of a tribe, not the best tribe around. And so he didn't think too much of himself. That's a very good thing. And he says, you know what, you were little in your own eyes, and God chose you to be king of Israel, right? Now, if you remain little in your own eyes, that's where the problem comes in. And then in the next verses down on chapter 24, you know, after, you know, he gets rebuked by Samuel, and then in 24 it says, and then Saul said to Samuel, "I have sinned, I have indeed transgressed the command of the Lord, your words." And this is why: because one, I fear the people, and two, I listen to their voice. Right? Here he was, the king of Israel, right? Chosen because he was small in his own eyes. But the only problem was, even though he was a king, he was still small in his own eyes. And he listened to the people, and he feared, right, the people that were around him. In fact, he didn't operate as king. You know, he operated like some beggar or something. You know, the very thing that was Saul's strength in essence to bring him to this place of power and position, but a shift never occurred. You know, it's not that you have to stop being humble, right? Because you know where you come from, but he never became king, you know, in his heart, in his mind. And it'd be very similar, right? It'd be like us when we, you know, draw the situation. You know, you meet Jesus Christ, and before you're humble, you're amazed that, God, how can you pick me? You know, how can this, you know, and that's wonderful. And that should be an attitude that we have throughout our Christian life. But somewhere along the line, there has to be a shift that occurs that you realize, I am a son of God. I am a child of the king. You know, and it's no longer, you know, that you just look down on yourself. Because, I mean, there is an act of humility that's in operation. But then you begin to recognize your royalty in God. Not that it makes you proud. You know, and that wasn't Saul's case in the least. It wasn't that he was proud, but that he never saw himself in the way that God saw him. You know, I can't say he was too humble, because in essence, the humility, you know, where it started off turned into something that was actually not very positive. You know, and in Saul's case, you know, his insecurity, you know, began to get the best of him. And instead of being king, he became just one of the people. Israel needed a king, right? You know, the people that are working around you, they need to see a king. You know, I akin this very much to, you know, some of you guys are going to take E.G., you know, and Blackaby. You know, he has this great line in E.G., you know, and he says that what the world is seeing today, right, is basically a bunch of nice Christians. They're saying, wow, those Christians are so nice. You know, what nice people. But their lives are not being changed. We don't need more nice Christians, right? We need people that are sons of the king. You know, they need to see a king. You know, they don't just need to see niceness, you know, in essence. And in the same way, I see Saul in the same light, you know. What may have started out may have been humility, or maybe it was his insecurity that, you know, that was there from the beginning. Probably. But he never had that shift in his life, you know, where he always saw himself as this little kid from nowhere, you know, and he never saw himself as the king. You know, and brothers and sisters, I've seen this in the church. You know, I've seen this in people's lives. I've seen people, you know, that walk with the Lord for years and years and years, and they never recognize their royalty in God. You know, not because they're proud or anything like that, but they don't understand the stature, right, in the Lord Jesus Christ by which they walk in. You know, Peter, you know, says through his, you know, scripture, he says, we are a royal priesthood, a holy nation. You know, and Saul never made that shift. You know, and this is what's going to happen for a lot of us that don't move in that shift. And I don't know if it's a specific time or a place or, you know, and so it's probably a process more than anything else, like most of the Christian life. You know, but in this case with Saul, he never turned. You know, he was always this insecure little kid. And he didn't realize he was the child of the king. You know, and attitudes change, and your heart changes, and you get filled with God esteem, you know, instead of just looking at yourself, you know, as just some punk little kid from nowhere. You know, I mean, you know, there's a bit of healthiness, right, to have that side or be remembered, you know, reminder of that side. But ultimately, you got to know who you are in Christ. You know, this is what we talk about, our identity in the Lord. You know, and you got to know that in your life that whatever the enemy accuses you, whatever, right, that Jesus is standing right in front of us, you know, taking all the accusation. And then when God sees us, he sees the righteousness of Christ. You know, this is what we mean by justification, right? And this, I mean, this is what's happening. And I've seen so many believers that don't recognize their royalty in the Lord. And so they're always walking with their head down, and you know that their, you know, their brand of humility, right, is actually false humility. You know, it's not really the genuine thing. You know, I mean, we share this so many times at church, and hopefully you always remember the definition. You know, the best definition I've ever heard of humility is simply this: it's agreeing with God. Humility is agreeing with God. It's agreeing with what God says about you, right? And so if God says, you know, you're the scum of the earth, humility says, yes, I am. I'm the scum of the earth. God says, you're the king of the universe, humility says, yes, I am. I'm the king of the universe. On the flip side, you know, a proud person, you know, God turns to a proud person and says, you're the scum of the earth. A proud person says, do you know who I am? That's not me, man. I'm not the scum of the earth. You know, God turns to a proud person and says, you're the king of the universe. You know what a proud person says? Oh, no, not me, Lord. I cannot dare to achieve that kind of stature, you know. It's all false humility, right? Humility is agreeing with God. You know, and unfortunately, Saul can never come to that place, right? Because he never made that shift. He never agreed, right, with what God was saying about his life. And, you know, and the sad thing, right, the word there, he says, it says God regretted that he had made Saul king. the point, I mean, obviously, God's sovereign. He's going to do what he does, you know, but probably a better translation is he was grieved. He was saddened. You know when a child of God does not walk, right, in the royalty of the Lord, there's a bit of sadness, you know, that comes through. You know, I have a very tiny, tiny glimpse of this as a dad. You know, when my daughters, you know, when they mope around or what, you know, I mean, there have been a few times where, like, they've been really hard on themselves, you know. Usually Elise is actually super confident, you know. And so I kind of like that. That works for us right now. But every once in a while, you'll see Emma moping around, you know, and I feel really sad, you know. And I'm just like, oh, you know, Emma, you don't have to be sad. You're a child of the King. Plus, you're my daughter, you know. And I mean, that's not as important as the other part, right? But, you know, but it's like, you know, you don't have to be sad. You don't have to, you know, like, and I could tell she's feeling bad about something. You know, and as a dad, it really grieves me. I feel so sad, you know, and things. And, you know, I mean, there's something about that, all right? And so, you know, let's begin to recognize who we are, not in a prideful sense, right? We recognize where we come from, you know, but not like Saul. He feared the people. I mean, why would you fear the people? You're the king, you know? And then he listened to their voice, these meaningless voices, right? As a side note, you know, as a leader, if you're aspiring to be a leader or if you're a leader, you got to have this down because you can't fear other people and you can't listen to people's voices, right? You have to fear God and listen to his voice. That's the key. You know, and so, I mean, I always tell leaders at church, you just have to have thick skin. You know, I mean, that's what leadership is about. You just need thick skin. You know, that's the only way you're going to survive. If you're going to be, you know, affected by a word that someone says, you know, that's going to mess you up, man. You got to be affected by what God says. That's the key of leadership. All right, so let's close our eyes a bit as we meditate on this. Ask yourself, have you made a shift? Yes, you are small in your own eyes. But do you know who you are in Christ? Is your identity in Christ firmed up? Yes, looking at ourselves, we're nothing. I look at myself, I'm nothing. But in Christ, I'm the son of the King. And you, my friends, have been bought with a price. So how dare we stoop our heads down? You know, when you're always looking down and feeling sorry for yourself and all these things, you can never be royalty because your crown falls off. That's why we walk with our head straight up with the approval of the Lord. And we say, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. As Mon leads us in a song of worship, let's go to the Lord. Let's meditate on that. Jesus. Let's pray for ourselves. Let's pray for our community. Let's pray that we would fear God and Him alone, that we would listen to His voice and His alone. We would not be preoccupied with other people's voice. Ultimately, we want to be hearers of God's voice. Let's pray for ourselves, for your friends around you, your family, our church. Let's pray for this prevailing attitude. Though that we know that we're small in our own eyes, that there's a shift that occurs. And then we also recognize that we're a child of the King. Let's pray in that manner. Let's pray for our activities going on throughout this weekend. Let's pray tonight for McCain Road House Church and for the choice as they lead. Let's pray for Experiencing God that's starting tonight, and for GIC. Let's pray for a fruitful time in both the discipleship classes, and that people would come hungry to learn what God is doing in their lives. And let's lift up Saturday activities, the intercessor prayer meeting. Pray for the youth group that's meeting. Pray for the guys playing basketball in the morning. Let's pray for a real fruitful time. Pray for our premarital counseling tomorrow night as well. It's our last session. Pray that we would finish well. Let's lift up our Sunday services to the Lord. Let's ask God to bless our 10 a.m. and 2 p.m. service. Pray for the North Korea prayer meeting going on in between. We have a steering committee meeting as well, and lift up Cascade on Monday night, and you know, so many things going on this weekend. Let's just ask for God's hand to be upon us, and that every time that we'd gather together, that there would be a real spirit of love and of grace and of care for one another, and just the power of God would come and to bring His truth and His life to us. And let's just cover this weekend right now. Thank you. Let's pray for our retreat coming up. Let's pray for all the logistics and, you know, and everything is slowly coming together. Let's pray for a real fruitful time as a church that we would, you know, that everyone would be able to go and really receive something from the Lord as well as give something to the Lord and to others. Let's pray for our speaker, Dan Sneed. Let's ask the Lord to protect him and to give him the words of the Lord for our community. Pray that people's schedules would open up and people that are sitting on the fence thinking about going or not, that they would really be compelled by the Spirit of the Lord to go and be a part of the community of God. You know, let's ask God to just cover this retreat. It's our most important event of the whole year. You know, let's just pray to the Lord for a real fruitful time. Let's pray for our building search and our move and our fund, and let's continue to press into God. You know, there's a possible interim solution at the end of this year and early next year. Let's really cry out to the Lord and ask for God's favor, and then all the pieces would come together, and so we would have a place that we can move to very, very soon. And let's just really cry out to God for that. Lastly, let's pray our mission focus. Let's pray for Cambodia. Let's ask the Lord's hand to be upon the nation, the people, especially the churches and the believers there. Pray for New Life Church and Pastor Tang and all the ministries going on. Let's pray for Pastor Kim and the orphanages that they run and the street ministries. Let's pray for Pastor Oh as he continues to form a strategy for reaching the whole country in his PhD studies. And let's continue to lift up our partnership with these people and these churches, and ask that it would just continue to grow. And I pray that all the labor and work that we put in this summer would have an everlasting effect on the churches and the people there. Just lift up Cambodia. Thank you. Father, we thank you, God, for your word. Lord, we thank you, Lord, that you desire each one of us, God, to know who we are in Christ. Lord, help us not to be dictated by our insecurities, God, and our issues, Lord, but that we want to be moved by the voice of God, by the vision of the Lord. God, we don't want to fear the people, God, or listen to their voice. We want to fear you and listen to your voice. And so I pray that you'd help us, God. Lord, let there be a shift, God, that occurs in our mind, our will, our emotions, our bodies, our spirit. A shift, God, that we come from being small in our own eyes, God, Lord, and we begin to be moved, Lord, into, Lord, just knowing who we are in you. And so watch over us, God. Watch over us throughout this weekend as we gather together as the people of God. Lord, let the power and the presence of God meet us, Lord, through all the stuff that we're doing this weekend. We thank you so much, God. Watch over us, Lord. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Huh? Have a great weekend this week, and we'll see you guys on Sunday. If you hadn't signed up for the retreat, you know, please do that ASAP as well.